Thank you that you be in our midst, that you would come and bring your word. Let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase, and you send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Nikki, if you keep those there, you might not have them. I'm just warning you. I will. She's got Rice Krispies treats. Well, I like Rice Krispies treats that, you know, they say cut them. Why? Oh, I like it. A giant Rice Krispies cinnamon roll.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. All right, we better get to this. lack of self-control, gluttony. Come off of him. We're going to be talking about pursuing his voice. Pursuing his voice. Who's his? Ah, see, you know why that's capitalized? Because it's a person who's very important. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Do you have that in your Bible? Everybody got your Bible? Open your Bible to that. 10:27. We've been talking about the importance of pursuing his voice. If this is the year of pursue, then we've got to be able to know that we can hear the voice of God. So find that and underline, hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice.
Now, who are his sheep?
Come on.
Again, like I said, having grown up on a farm and knowing the intelligence level of sheep, I was offended when he said, we are the sheep of his field. I went, sheep are the dumbest animal on the planet. They are so dumb. And then I was a believer for more than about 10 minutes, and I went, you think pretty highly of us. Once again, I'm just going to say, sheep have no natural defense except this, that they stay in a flock. That's their defense. And that they follow the shepherd. That's it. That's their only defense. They don't do anything well except eat and follow. Now, I have to say, after having been a Christian for a little while, I can eat and I can follow. We are supposed to eat the word of the Lord and we are supposed to follow after our shepherd. And that is it. That is really, if we just focused on that, feeding ourselves on the manna of the word daily and following after the voice of the shepherd, we would be in good shape. Because many pursue his hands, but few pursue his voice. Many pursue the hand of God, but very few pursue his voice. Because pursuing his hand is something tangible I can see, touch, and feel. But to pursue hearing his voice means I have to listen, right? I have to listen. In order to hear something, I have to listen. People seek to listen to God with their eyes. Come on, Lord, I want to see your voice. That's like asking to see music, right? It can't be done. You must use your ears to hear.
People do this all the time. They seek to hear the Lord by pursuing his hands. They seek to hear him with their eyes rather than with their ears. They watch for signs to see what's happening rather than learning how to hear his voice. Well, I'm going to look around, and when I see something happening, then I'll hear you. Then I'll know that's how I hear you. And they try to see and sense something that Jesus said we are supposed to hear. Have you ever gotten caught in that trap? I'm going to try and see and sense Jesus, and that's how I'm going to hear him, rather than my sheep hear, right here, my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are his sheep, you will hear his voice. Will. I can't tell you how many Christians say to Jerry and I can't hear his voice. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Right here. My sheep hear my voice. If you are his sheep, you hear his voice. In the Old Testament, before Jesus, some people heard the voice of God, and some people followed signs from God, right? We see those two different things happening. Some people heard the actual audible voice of God, and some people followed signs as they followed after God.
Look, I mean, we see lots of signs from God. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that the children of Israel got to follow. They didn't follow the voice of God. They saw the hand of God reach down. Gideon, a great man of faith, said, "Show me a sign. Let me see. I want to see dew on the ground and not on this sheepskin." And then that wasn't good enough. So he said, "All right, prove it's really you. I want to see dew on the sheepskin and not on the ground." God, I'm going to tell you, God is merciful and gracious, though, because he knows what we need. And he loved Gideon, and he had chosen Gideon. He called Gideon a what? Mighty man of God. Mighty man of valor. Courage, as he was hiding in the wine press. "Hope they don't find me." When the voice of God said, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, rise up." "Moi?" "Certainly you have chosen incorrectly." But see, what did he hear? The voice of God. He needed a sign to confirm it, but he did hear it. Elijah, I want you to think about Elijah. Elijah called out the prophets of Baal, slew them, had fire come down from heaven. Great miracle. Now, if you could call down fire from heaven, you'd have faith, right? Even if just one woman said, "As the prophets have been made, so will you be by the end of this day or else." Now, just one woman. He just slew 1,000 prophets of Ashtoreth and Baal, both, in front of their gods, had fire come down from heaven, and one woman says, "Boo!" And he ran. Now, he was in a desperate spot because she had sent armies to kill him, and he knew it. And he got a little woe is me on him. "Lord, I'm the only one left. Nobody loves you but me." Anybody ever said this? Surely I'm the last one. And I don't fault Elijah. Elijah was a great man. But he was a man. God provided for him all along the way. But he ended up in a place where he wasn't listening to the Lord anymore. God even fed him with meat from the ravens and the bread of angels. Cooked over a fire. That's pretty good service. When God gives you room service, you've done some good stuff. I'm just going to say, right? But in 1 Kings 19, Elijah's in a desperate place. And he hears this voice. "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." Now I'm going to tell you what. God sent a wind, God sent an earthquake, and God sent fire. Do you know what that was to do? Get his attention. It says, a mighty wind blew, but the Lord was not in it. And the earth quaked, and the Lord was not in it. And the fire burned but the Lord was not in it. But Elijah was like, I'm picking up what you're laying down, Lord. You have my attention. I'm going to tell you what. When you see those signs, we often just go running after the wind, the earthquake, the fire. Surely that's what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to start the fire ministry. He wanted me to start big wind. He wanted me to start shake 'em and bake 'em ministries, right? Fire and wind. And I got to tell you, this is not what God was looking to do. He was getting Elijah's attention. That's all. Because it says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I have pondered this 1,000 times. A still small voice. I mean, he's willing to tear the rocks down with wind. He's willing to shake the planet. He's bringing fire. But when he wants your attention, it doesn't say, and the voice of many waters crashed down over Elijah so that he heard, Elijah! You never hear that. Although it says his voice is like that of many waters. You never hear it described that way, as though it's a terrifying thing. There was this booming, shouting crescendo of a voice. It's like Elijah says, a still small voice. A still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a what? A voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I want you to think about this. How many of you would come with your agenda? Surely God has something great for me. The Lord has moved heaven and earth and all this, so he's going to give me some great plan. Now here's what he says to Elijah. What are you doing here? I get like, the voice of the Lord. Yes, Lord, your servant hears. What are you doing here? What do you mean, what am I doing here? I'm here. I don't know. I was running. What can I say? God has a very specific, see, God has a specific thing to say to you too, but we get caught up in our own voice, right? Well, okay, wait, God's going to speak. Go ahead, Lord, tell me what I want to hear.
It says, Elijah heard it. How do you hear the voice of God? It doesn't say Elijah saw the voice of God. It says Elijah heard the voice of God. Again, if you are a sheep, when Jesus came, he said, follow me, hear my voice, not follow my signs. Follow me, hear my voice. If you are one of mine, you will know my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are a sheep, you will hear his voice, and you should follow after that voice. You don't have to try to follow his hands. Signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't follow my signs. He said, hear my voice and follow after me. He said, if you are not one of my sheep, you're not going to know my voice. And so even my signs aren't going to convince you. Even my wonders aren't going to convince you to follow me or to believe in me. Why? Because you're not one of my sheep. But if you are, you shouldn't have to follow my signs. You should hear my voice and be able to follow after me. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16.
Look, how many times have you had a discussion with an unbeliever, trying to convince them of something, and you feel like you are running like a dog chasing your tail, because They keep asking a question with a question with a question with a question with a question. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So why is it you're trying to get a sheep that is a goat to follow after the sheep herder? You're trying to get a goat to follow after the sheep herder. You got to say, wait a minute, I'm just going to tell you who he is. You're going to need to find him. I can't make you as a goat want to follow him. When you realize you're not really a goat, but a sheep, then you'll follow him. I can't convince somebody into the kingdom of heaven.
No, I knew a woman one time, and she'd been saved like 20 years. And she was angry at God over this, that, and the other thing. And, well, I just can't believe. And I see this, and I believe he's the Christ, but I can't believe this, that, and the other thing. I said, what is it going to take for you to believe? Well, if you just show me one miracle. I said, just one miracle? I said, you got 7 kids. How's 7 work for you? You got a man who loves you. So you're breathing. You're salvation. One? Well, no. You see, that's the one, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, that has to have the sign to try to hear the voice. Right, Linda? Instead of the sheep that hear my voice and follow after. Well, prove it to me.
To hear in Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Jesus then left them and went away. What was the sign of Jonah? It was a foreshadowing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Sign of Jonah. Jonah was consumed, sacrificed in the whale. It says that he was in the belly of the great fish for a fortnight, 3 days. Read it. And then he was brought out onto dry land to do what? Deliver Nineveh. He was a type and a shadow of the Christ. And so he said, look, the sign has already been given to you. You need to understand it. You don't get it, and it doesn't matter what I would do. Because what they wanted him to do was say, okay, watch. There's going to be a star in the sky. Or the sun is going to turn purple. Or whatever. They wanted a sign that was larger than themselves that was in the sky. Not like some magic thing that they had magicians and people who could do things. They wanted to see a sign that was in the heavens. And Jesus said, oh, wicked and perverse generation, no sign will be given to you. You've already received the sign. He tells them later, look, all the prophets came and you killed them. What sign would be given to you that you would believe? When you're trying to convince someone, when you're trying to tell them, I don't care. Okay, what would it take? If somebody just gave me $1,000, boom, ding dong. Hi, I'm the mailman. I have a check here for $1,000. Well, sure. That I probably won that before I ever said that. I mean, this is how people do, is they want to shoot down the signs. But see, we go to verse 5 here. It says, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and says, is it because we didn't bring any bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking about among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because the Pharisees and the Pharisees were of the law. They believed the whole law. They actually believed in the resurrection. But they were under the law, and the law had to be followed exactly as it was written. Now the Sadducees, they only believed in the words of Moses, and they didn't believe in a resurrection to come. So they were looking for signs. They wanted, give us a sign to show us, to prove us who you are. I want to know that I know that you are He. Why? Because they couldn't hear the voice anymore. The voice of God had been still in the land for 400 years at this point. Because the law, the law was what they used to differentiate. This is, I know that I am of the law, which means then, therefore, I am righteous. I keep the whole of the law and have since I was young. This is what they were trying to do. They followed their religious traditions, some of which were from the Word of God and some of which were the men had added on. They carried it around as a sign that this is what they were. They were bound by the law. And you'll read about this later. We're going to talk about it. Believing that that was the only way to God was through the law. So much so that they missed the very Messiah that they were looking for right in front of their eyes. Because they're like, wait a minute. We've got the law, and we want you to prove who you are. Instead of opening their ears and believing, I believe in the authority of Scripture. Well, what if the authority of Scripture says there will come a Messiah, a deliverer? But I believe in the law. Well, but he is going, all the governments are going to be on his shoulders. I believe in the law. And so when Jesus shows up on scene, they can't recognize him because they're looking for a written message that says,
thus saith the Lord.
Even though he did. Because we get our expectations of what it's going to look like. What will Messiah look like? Well, he'll be a Pharisee. And the Sadducees, I'm sure, thought he would be a Sadducee. Because, and the tribe of Benjamin believed that he would come from there, and the tribe of Levi believed he would come from there, and the tribe of Judah believed that he would come from there. Because, why? Because I want to believe what I want to believe. Instead of, okay, Lord, you're God. I'll trust you.
Their signs, their teachings were of signs and the law. Both of these groups of people demanded signs to prove their agenda. They asked for a sign to test Jesus. They weren't trying to hear his voice and follow after him. The teachings of Jesus was not about signs and law. The teaching of Jesus was about faith and grace. That's the difference. Faith in Jesus is the only way to eternal life. It's not through the law. It's not through what we do. What does Scripture say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? For by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
5:7.
Oh, I'm sorry. 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are saved through grace, not by keeping of the law. Signs, he came to fulfill the law, but we are not saved by the law. Signs and miracles, and don't hear us wrong, signs and miracles are not wrong, but they should not be how believers hear the voice of God. We can see God through them, and we can see him moving, but we should be able to hear the voice of our shepherd and follow after it. Again, I couldn't even tell you how many Christians we know that say, I cannot hear the voice of God. I look for signs to see him. I look for things happening to follow him. but I cannot hear his voice, and that should not be so. You should be able to hear, Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen?
See, if you can't hear the voice of your Savior, if you're one of his sheep and you can't hear his voice, then at the start of it, you're out of line with the Word of God. And just flat out, you're just out of line with the Word of God. Because he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. So if you're one of his sheep, the sheep of his field, then you hear his voice. And if you hear his voice, then you'll be led by his voice. But so many people end up in this very dangerous place of wanting signs and wonders and miracles to lead me. Ooh, there were some healing signs over there. Ooh, there were some miracles over there. Can I tell you? God's word says that that Satan will come as an angel of light. He has power. Read the book of Revelation. Don't read the book of Revelation. Well, I'll read it, but don't get all wound up in it. People get wound up in the book of Revelation. But it says that the Antichrist will come, and it will look a lot like Jesus. He will sustain an injury that will cause him to die, and then he will rise again. Can I tell you, the enemy is not above using signs and wonders to astound you. Do you remember Moses standing before Pharaoh? God said, cast down the staff. And then the magicians threw their staffs down, mm-hmm. and they became serpents also. Mm-hmm. See, the enemy is not above using signs and wonders. So if we get caught in that, then we'll get dragged away chasing after signs and wonders and miracles. And then people will say, ooh, what about this? What about that? And you read about it later. It says, they will say, here is the Christ and there is the Christ. And you will run around going, oh, there he is. Oh, wait, no, he's over there. You don't need to be deceived if you hear his voice. If you're one of mine, you will know my voice and you will follow it. It's that simple. People are like, oh, it's so scary. If you're not his, you won't know his voice. If you're not his, don't worry about it. Because even if you hear his voice, it's going to be like, wah, 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 wah. But if you're his, you'll hear his voice.
Mm-hmm. Signs and wonders, Scripture said, is for the unbelievers because they can't hear his voice. So if you're witnessing to an unbeliever, don't ever tell them, well, just pray and listen for God's voice and you'll hear it. Because they won't, and you are now leading them astray. And they're going to get frustrated and angry with God because they're going to be trying to hear the voice of a shepherd that isn't even their shepherd. Now you can say to them, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you. Watch for him. Look around you, see if you don't see him. See if you don't see something. Because they might see some things, but they're not going to hear his voice until they come into the sheep pen and they become one of his. Then you can say to them, seek his voice. Learn his voice. I can help you to learn how to. The problem is, like Jerry says, if we don't know his voice, then when the devil comes as an imposter, he can create signs for confusion. He can do it, I watch people do it all the time. He can dress his agenda up to look like the Lord's agenda, and you can end up following the wrong agenda. You can end up just spinning in circles instead of being able to hear the voice of the shepherd and then follow like this. I remember my mom one time. She told me she lost her job, and she was in her 50s, single woman, bad time to lose your job, struggling to know what to do. She was living in California, and all of her kids lived in Oregon, and she called me up one day, and she's like, you know what, I don't know what to do, and I'm having trouble finding work out here, and I said, why don't you go back to Oregon? Why don't you go home? Well, your kids are there, your grandkids are there. Why are you living out in California all by yourself? So she said, well, let me pray about it. And so she prayed about it, and she called me the next day, and she goes, you know, it's so funny, Beth. She goes, I got on my knees that night to pray, and I have this little flip calendar you got me. And she said, and I happened to have glanced over it, and I hadn't flipped it over yet. And she said, and I read the little scripture at the bottom, and she said, and I knew it was God speaking to me, and I knew it was a word, and she goes, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go be around my kids and my grandkids. And she said, will you just pray with me that I find a job? And I'm like, absolutely, absolutely. And I said, but I just have one question for you, Mommy. I said, what are you going to do when the day you decide to load up your moving truck and pack, you get a phone call from the best job you ever could have had in your life in California? More money than you ever made in your life, better benefits. My mom has health issues. She needs benefits. Better benefits than you ever could have had in your life. What are you going to do? She goes, oh, Beth, why would you say that? That's never going to happen. I love you. Bye. Click. And about 3 months went by, and she couldn't find a job in Oregon, and she kept trying. And then finally she says, you know what? I'm just going to do what God said. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find a job. I said, okay. So she called up my brother-in-law and my sister, and they went out to pick her up. While they're on the way to pick her up, she gets a phone call from a hospital who is going to pay her like 3 times more than she's ever made in her entire life. They're going to give her all the benefits she wants in the world, and she can write her own ticket. And she calls me up. She goes, you are not going to believe what happened. Did you pray for that? I said, of course I didn't pray for that. And I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to Oregon. I said, all right. So she turned the job down. She went to Oregon. A week later, my older sister found out that her oldest child had a tumor in his hip. My sister was working full-time. She had 3 children. Her husband was working full-time. Had a tumor in his hip. She went into the doctor. They saw the tumor. They immediately put him in a body cast from here to here. They had little brass handles on him. They used to carry him around like he would carry a board. He was like 13 suitcase. Years old, like a suitcase. He was 13 years old. And she needed full-time somebody to come in and care for this child because she had 2 other children. And my mom became the caregiver of that child and take care of that family for the next year. He went from that, he had a miracle healing in that, to turn right around and had rheumatoid arthritis and almost died. For 3 years, he was in and out of massive health care, and my mom was able to come in and take care of that household in ways that they never would have been able to sustain themselves without her. But if she'd have been watching for signs, she would have stayed in California. But instead, she walked by faith. And so you've got to know him. I love this in the Bible. If you go back to the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, it says, I'm going to start in verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now, you would think that a child that grew up under the priest Eli, and who lived in the temple and slept right there by the ark of the Lord, could hear the voice of God. I would think. That's pretty close quarters. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. For the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. So Samuel went and lay down in the place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And so God is standing right there in your room. We've got to get to know him.
You need to underline that in your Bible twice. Once where Samuel says, where Eli tells Samuel, when you hear this voice again, what should you say? Speak, for your servant is what? What do you listen for? Yeah. You should have that underlined both times. Both from being told that, because you're being told that. And then when the voice of the Lord comes and says, Tabitha. When the voice of the Lord comes and says, Savannah. Mm-hmm. When the voice of the Lord comes and says, Laura, and bless you. When the voice of the Lord comes, then you've got to say, speak, for your servant is listening.
But you've got to know him. If you know him, then you will know when someone is trying to impersonate him. Andy asked me one time when he was a little boy. He said, Mom, we learned in Sunday school that in the end times, that even the elect, even the really big people that know God really well are going to be deceived. What's going to happen to me? I'm just a little boy. And I said, buddy, I said, if somebody came home tonight and they looked just like your dad and they walked in and sat down and had dinner with us, do you think you would know if it wasn't your dad? I mean, he had the same hair and he had the same clothes and we sat there and ate dinner. And he goes, well, yeah, I would know. And I said, how would you know it wasn't your dad? He said, well, I would know. I would know by what kind of food he ate and what he didn't eat. I would know by the jokes he told. I would know by the sound of his voice. I said, because you know your dad, you would know if somebody was trying to impersonate your dad, which is why you need to know him. In John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. To hear the voice of the shepherd, you must know and believe, first of all, that I can. Do not ever say again, I can't hear the voice of the Lord. You must remove that. If you need to say it, say, pray for me. I'm struggling hearing the voice of the Lord. Pray for me. I got worldly wax in my ears. But do not say, I can't hear. Because you can. And you've got to believe that. And you've got to know that. You've got to know that it is innate. You have been created to hear his voice. It is innate. You have been created to hear his voice. If you are filled with his spirit, spirit speaks to spirit, right? So you can hear his voice. But you've got to believe that, and you've got to know that. I am a sheep. He didn't create me unable to hear his voice and then tell me to hear his voice. What kind of a God would do that? I can hear his voice.
You have to know and believe that it's learned. Look, those babies, they were born with ears and they could hear, but they didn't know whose voice was who right off the bat. They had to learn, just like us. We have to learn, and when we hear the voice go, oh. So each time I hear his voice, it familiarizes it. How did Andy know when he was a little boy? Well, how would he know if somebody was being an imposter for me? Because I know my dad. I know my father. I know what he does and what he doesn't do, and what he acts like and what he sounds like. I mean, I want you to think about this. We're talking about the voice of God. Do you know the voice of God? I guarantee you, if you've been saved longer than a minute, you know the voice of God. Now the question is, do you recognize it? Are you familiar enough with it? How would you know if somebody came up here and started telling you they were me and they told you you should go worship Buddha and you should go sacrifice cats? And because you see, you would go, oh, that does not line up. Sorry. He's either lost his mind or that's not him. Now, this is what we're talking about. How would you, and if I was totally dressed differently and you unrecognizable to you, But you heard my voice, and I was saying, this is the Lord your God and what he says. How would you know it was me? Because it lined up with what you knew about me, and you recognized my voice. So you'd be like, oh, I know that voice. I know that voice anywhere. And it's in line. Oh, you can't fool me. I know what the truth is. So we've got to learn.
And how do babies learn the voice of their parents? How do they learn that that voice is my daddy, my mommy, versus the other voices that's here? By being around their dad, by being around their mom. People tell me this all the time. I can walk up behind somebody and they can go, oh, there's Beth. And I'll say, how did you know it was me? Well, I know the strike in your step. That's what they say. You have a very distinct step.
I can hear her heels all the way across the mall.
So I don't know why, but apparently there's a lot of women wear heels, but there's a certain strike in my step that people can. But how do they know that? Because obviously they've walked around me. We've been together. And the same thing is true of the voice of God. See, to hear the voice of God, it comes, it's learned, it's matured. As a child grows and they spend more time around their parents, they learn more and more and more how different their parents' voice sounds from other parents. Do you know that after a while, you can probably tell your mom's sneeze from everybody else's sneeze? Right? They can snap their fingers, and you can tell if that's your parent by that hearing, by that noise. Why? Because I've spent time around you. Because I know your noises. I know your voice. I know the things you say, and I know the things you wouldn't say. I know the noises you make and the noises you don't make. I can hear the way you walk and the way you move. Why? Because I've learned these inflections, these tones, these accents. They watch what their parents do and they watch what their parents don't do. And so they know. When somebody says, oh, hey, I saw your mom, they go, probably wasn't my mom. Might look like my mom. I can pretty much tell you that wasn't my mom. My mom wouldn't do that. Why? Because I know my mom. That's where, as you mature in being able to hear the voice of God, you'll never mature in hearing the voice of God unless you mature your relationship with God, which will only be matured as you spend time with God.
See.
I don't know if I can. Sometimes I say things I don't know if I can say them again because they're not my words. What did I say, Kimmy? You'll never be able to mature in hearing the voice of God unless you spend time with God. That's the bottom line of it. I said something else, but I don't know what else. It was the Holy Ghost. So ask him, he'll repeat it for you.
Get the CD. That's a simple answer. If someone told Bella was not with her parents, and came and said, hey, look, your parents told me, Bella, that we're supposed to take you to a nightclub tonight, and we're going to go out drinking and partying, and we're going to have a good time, you would go, oh, that was not my parents. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Because you know your parents. But how often do we get caught up with people saying, the Lord said that you should divorce your spouse. The Lord said that you don't have to put up with that anymore. You don't have to forgive that. See, people say, but wait a minute. That's not my father. My father wouldn't say that. Are you as confident as Bella would be? Oh, I don't know who you were talking to, but that was my parents. I'm telling you. Because, see, this is what we've got to understand, is that we need to know our Father. John 10, verse 3 through 5. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice.
Underline that. They see his voice. They sense his voice. They hear his voice.
And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. By the way, he knows your name. And when he brings out his own sheep, whose sheep? His own sheep. He goes before them. It didn't say he's going to get behind you with a whip and drive you. Mm-hmm. That's the butcher. The butcher drives you. The shepherd leads you. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they what?
They know his voice.
How do they know his voice? Because they saw it? Did they feel it? Did they sense it? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What is wrong with us as a body that we do not flee the voice of strangers? When the voice of strangers says, "Psst, come over here. It's just a little bit. It's not that bad. You'll like it." Why don't we flee? It says we should. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. You know why? Because we're not listening for the voice of our Father, the shepherd. Because what we're hearing is a lot of different voices, a lot of different words. The voice of strangers should cause us to go, wait a minute.
Any parent is absolutely terrified by this child. And that's the child that runs to the voice of strangers. Right? Anybody ever have a kid that did that? Every parent that has the little child that hears the voice of a stranger and does this. Can I tell you, that's a good thing. That's what we're supposed to do. Hear the voice of the stranger and run to our Father. And go, good guy or bad guy? You tell me. See, the parent that got the kid that runs after the strangers is the one that's like, no!
God will speak to you through His Spirit. God will speak to you through His Spirit. Not signs and wonders and miracle. God will speak to you through His Spirit. I really want you to... See, signs... Nothing wrong with signs. But when we're trying to hear God by signs, we're looking with our flesh. Am I right? If we're looking for signs... Again, God gave people signs along the way. He gave the children of Israel signs along the way. He gave the disciples signs along the way. But He never said, look for signs to follow. He said, listen for my voice. I will lead you. I am the good shepherd.
He'll speak through His Spirit. Spirit speaks to Spirit. He'll speak through His people. God will sometimes speak to you through His people. That is very important. Once again, that you can hear the voice of God. Again, you may see signs and miracles and wonders, and that's great, but you need to be able to hear the voice of God to make sure that those signs that you're seeing are really from the Lord. Well, if somebody comes and speaks to you and says, you know what, I believe this is from God for you. I think God told me this about you or that about you. Then you need to be able to hear the voice of the shepherd. You need to know the shepherd to say, well, is this really you, Lord? Because some people say, just because somebody comes up, Kathleen was, and I were talking about this the other day, you know what, she got led far astray because as a young believer, somebody came to her that she trusted and said, God told me this. And she didn't know how to hear the voice of the shepherd yet. And so she went, well, then if God told you that, okay. And she got really hurt by that. Now, fortunately, she's a mature enough believer that she didn't go fleeing into the hills and become part of the Antichrist and get all mad and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very happy about that. But she could have, and people have, because they just went, oh, well, I trust you. And they never stopped and said, Father, if that word is true, would you speak it into my hearing? Is this you? Is this not you? Take that time to know your shepherd's voice.
I'm just going to say, whenever you get a word from God through people, it should be a confirmation, not a revelation. It should be a confirmation of what's already going on in your spirit, not a revelation. By the way, God wants you to sell everything you own to me and move to Zimbabwe. Huh? See, that would be revelation. Really? I don't like Zimbabwe. I don't believe God's ever told me that. But you're a really godly person, so that must be it. It should always come as confirmation. you will have this thing in your spirit, and then the voice of the Lord will come sometimes through other people and say, I believe that the Lord is leading you to a direction of working with this group of people. Oh, man, that is such confirmation. I appreciate that. That is the word of God leading me to where I know I'm already heading, and it's just God saying, yes, you're hearing me. I will lead you. And then it's got to line up with God's word. It's got to line up with God's word. He speaks to us through his word because his word is living. It's living. People go, oh, it was written, 2,000 years ago. It was written a lot longer ago than that. But it doesn't matter. It's relevant for today. Well, yeah, but it doesn't say that we shouldn't smoke or drink or drive cars or this or that or the other thing. It's got more than enough wisdom for every situation you will ever deal with. And God speaks very clearly through his word to us. Now, it's got to line up. When somebody brings something to you, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, God says, you should go kill that person. Wait a minute. I know what his word says. And his word says, thou shalt not murder. And so that's where we've got to have our understanding in knowing his word. To know the teachings, look, and there's things in the Bible that are teachings of men. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, I, not the Lord, would say unto you, Paul's qualifying, look, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, I know the truth, but I want to tell you, this is a Paul. I'm telling you this. Not I, but the Lord, later he says, let me clarify that there's a separation. I'm a man, and this is my opinion, and this is God, and his is not an opinion.
Amen to that, which is, again, why you need to know the word. Not absolutely everything you read in the word of God should you do. There are things in the word of God that you should not do. It's an example of what not to do. Like Joshua and Ai, that's a good example of what not to do. There was a lesson in there. So again, you need to know the word. Know what to do, what not to do. If you go back and you read when they come to test Jesus about divorce. Divorce was Moses' idea because of the hardness of man's heart. Was the teachings. This is what is the teachings of men. Jesus says, well, this is what they did because of the hardness of man's heart, but that's not the way it was from the beginning. So there again, you see, is another one of the separations between the teachings of men and the way the Lord would have things to do. With a woman caught in adultery, they were all going to stone her. Jesus shows up on scene, and he goes, okay, wait. Whichever one of you is without sin, go ahead and cast first stone here. Now, did they have the right to stone her and kill her? Sure. She was caught in adultery. And yet, he kneels down, and after everybody leaves, he says, now, go and sin no more. And what you see there is another picture, the difference of how the man's laws were set up to handle the woman caught in adultery versus what Jesus did. If you really want to know the ways of Jesus, study him. Watch him. Look at the things that he does. Spend time with him. Watch what he does in his word. Watch how he handles the believers and the unbelievers. Watch how he ministers his truths to the believers and the unbelievers. Watch how he handles sinners. Study him. Study him. Go, okay, I'm going to become a student of your behavior and your ways.
Okay, if he calls you his sheep, that means you can hear his voice. If you hear his voice, then you can follow after him, right? That's what his word says. If you're my sheep, you will hear my voice and know me, and I'll know you, and you will follow me. It's very simple. He calls you a friend who knows him. I mean, if somebody called up and said,
"Hi, this is Jeff Kraft. I want to meet you for a cup of coffee."
I'd know if it was Jeff or not. Although he has said that almost identically. See, I know exactly. Why? Because I know Jeff. And if I had any question, if it was Jeff, I'd be like, "Jeff, tell me something that only you would know." And he would say something goofy. And I'd be like, "Okay, I'll meet you. Where are we going?" It's because I know him. If we know the shepherd, then we're not going to get deceived. We're not going to get dragged away. Why? Because we know his voice. And when he says, "I want you to go over and I want you to love that person. I want you to shed the love of Christ abroad in their hearts." And you're going to be like, "All right. That lines up with God's word. That lines up with his character. I can see. I'll do it. That's the voice of my Father."
You know, as a friend of Jesus, he calls you his friend. There's a difference between having a friend and actually fellowshipping with that friend. And you can have a friend in your life. Jerry has a friend. They grew up together. He tells the kids to call him Uncle Mark. But when was the last time you actually spoke to him?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
When
he got married, 10 years ago. Last time he spent time with him, last time he spoke to him. Now, he would still today call him a friend.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But they haven't been fellowshipping together. The Bible talks about that we're not only supposed to partake in the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship means I'm spending time with you. We're spending time together. Just calling Jesus your friend and just saying, and Jesus saying, "You're my friend," doesn't mean that you've spent enough time together that you're really going to know his voice. But if you're fellowshipping with him, sometimes we get in that place of suffering and we don't fellowship anymore with him because we're too busy calling out to him to save us instead of fellowshipping with him in the midst of what we're in the middle of. And so there's certain times I want to hang out with you and get to know you, Lord, but sometimes I'm too stressed and too busy and I got too much whatever going on, worldly wax in my ears. Check yourself. What kind of worldly wax do you got going on? Get it out. Whatever it is, get it out. Say, "Lord, open my ears. I am your sheep." And you say, "I can hear your voice. So purge this stuff from my ears because it's your voice I want to hear above every other voice. Because your voice will never, ever, ever lead me astray." Amen? You can hear his voice. Okay? So nobody's allowed to say anymore, "I can't hear his voice."
I am not particularly a fan of the word "can't" anyway. Should probably not use "can't" around either one of us. "Can't" is one of those big... I would rather you just say, "I won't."
I won't hear his voice.
Like,
I'm doing this.
Right. Or, I hear his voice. I am not doing what he says. I'm going to tell you what, that's better. I'm just going to be blatantly disobedient. Rather than, "I can't hear his voice." He's going, "Stop." And you're like, I don't know whose voice that is, but it's not. I don't. Be better off just to be honest. "Yep, I hear him say stop. I'm going to go anyway."
Listen. Listen, listen. Again, as we get more and more into the latter days, if you, those that don't hear his voice, are going to be much more susceptible to the imposter's ways. So be careful. Tune yourself in like the radio. Remember the old dial radio frequencies? Learn how to tune yourself in.
No, everybody's got digital now. Press a button and it finds a station for you.
Clock radio?
See? Yeah, that's...
I miss the dials. The dials were easier to turn in. The ones where they find their own stations, they bother me. I like the old... Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes
I could have not found the station.
Sometimes we have trouble hearing them because of static. We need to get to a place. I was talking to somebody today, and I was in our basement, and I was on the cell phone. And she's saying, "You need to move because I can't hear you quite right." And sitting. There was a house full of people, so I was in a place of privacy. And literally sitting at my desk downstairs, I had to sit in this exact position to hear her voice. Anytime I moved to the left or right, that static would come in. You know what? Sometimes you have to be still. I mean, you really have to be still to clearly hear his voice. So.
Now, see, in the old days with cell phones, when we had the big bricks, it was a lot like that. It was like, okay, I'm going. No, nowadays you're like, I'm going through a bad zone and it's like 4 feet. In those days, it was like, I'm going. I woke up. Why did we even have them? I don't know. Technology was like, there was 4 cell towers in the world. And we're trying to pick it up. Been better off with a ham radio. I remember this. And we're paying about $4 a minute. About $4 a minute to go. Meet me. This is crazy. You know, but that's what we do sometimes too, is we get caught up listening through that, thinking that's as good as the reception gets. Oh no, that was the old days, before digital television, when we had the rolling. Did you have the rolling line? Heck yeah, rabbit ears. I was rabbit ears. What do you mean? Go stand over there. Put your hand up. That's good. The moon landing. Like this. Wait. No, there. Stop. Okay, can I sit down? No. You stand right. No, not like that. Okay. I mean, look, that we need to be that willing. And I remember being that willing to do it for some Disney movie. We need to be that willing to do it for God. You got to stand kind of funny and over here, and you got to get your Bible out early in the morning, and you got to do something that's uncomfortable to hear the voice. Okay, is it worth it? Can I tell you? One word from God will make whatever sacrifice you have paid to hear that one word well worth it. I hear people all the time, I just need one word from the Lord, Pastor. Why are you asking me? God is not going to give me a word that he's not going to give you. And if he's going to give it to me, it's only to confirm it in you. So if you're not listening and not hearing it, people do this all the time. They come and they go, give me a word. Okay, the word is potato. That's right. Well, yeah, which is, if I tell you and you don't hear it from God, then what am I? I'm just a clanging cymbal. I could be a lunatic. It would make the same difference to you, because unless you hear it first in your spirit, and then when I come and say, pursue, you go, ooh, I knew that. Man. It's like, oh, all right. That's it. It's not like, oh, really? Never thought of that. It's a confirmation. So we've got to have our ears on to hear his voice so that that word can then be confirmed, then build faith in you. I did hear from God. Amen?
You ever been in church where that word of prophecy would come and it just rang so true in your spirit? Your spirit was either immediately convicted, or it was immediately encouraged, or it was immediately received the direction that you were looking for, what was happening. Exactly what Pastor's talking about. But have you ever tried? I do this sometimes. I'll mute the TV and I'll try to guess what the commercials are. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can look at it and it's pretty obvious. And sometimes you think it's obvious. And then the next time it comes around, you put some talent to it and you're like, why did I miss that? Yet again, signs are not wrong, but you got to be able to hear his voice too.
Amen. Lord Jesus, Father, we just ask you to open our spiritual ears, Lord Jesus. Father, give us ears that we might hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Let us not look to signs and wonders and miracles for your voice is clear.
Your sheep hear your voice, my Father, and you know them, and they are known by you. Now, Jesus, I ask you that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Let us hear the Spirit of the living God, so that you may confirm it within us. And as you confirm it within us, Lord God, we will be faithful, Lord, to carry on. So, Jesus, I ask you right now to give your people hearts that are ready to say, Lord, your servant is listening. Mm-hmm. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
For those of you that have